I want to talk to you about your calling today. I want to talk to you about the fact that you have an individual calling, that your life really does have dignity, that your life has distinct dignity, that there's a destiny that your life has that is just as unique as your fingerprint. That God has a calling on your life. Doesn't mean you're going to preach behind the pulpit. That may be one of the least areas of which your gift may affect. But that you are called, and no matter what you do, you need to connect your activities with your calling. You need to be able to connect the dots. Oh yeah, there's a lot of stuff we all have to do. But once you know your calling, once you understand that you are a child of destiny, that you have the dignity of a life of distinction, it's going to do many things for you. First of all, when you have a sense of destiny, it's going to give you some dignity. See, what I'm learning in my 60 years of being around the church, I'm 60 years old and I've been going to church 4 or 5 times a week at least for 60 years. How many know I've been in church a lot? Yeah, I've been there a lot. And when you're around people, and one of the things I've learned is that when your morale is low, your morals will be low. And why leaders are trying to get Christians to behave well and do better and, come on, act better, the key is that if you could ever understand the dignity of your destiny, then that dignity would give you a morale about your life that would transcend the lower morals that sometimes we get seduced into when we're not living according to our calling. So today, I want to talk to you about, excuse me, just a moment. Hello? It's my calling. It's calling. And the next 25 minutes or so, I'm hoping that there will be a cell phone that you will hear deep in your heart that will give you a sense that you are called. And don't get ahead of me, brother. Stay right with me, all right? You stay right here with me. All right, I'm going to give you 3 or 4 scriptures and we'll talk about them. What I'd like you to do is write them down so you can go home and read them later on, all right? They are 1 Timothy chapter 1 through 9. Great passage of scripture. I want to paraphrase it for you, but you're going to want to read it because you're not going to hardly believe what I'm going to say. You're going to say, it can't be that good, it can't be that true, but it is. I'm also going to show you a passage of scripture in Acts chapter 17, verses 26 and 27. Phenomenal passage of scripture that will blow your mind, change your life forever. And then we'll use as a backdrop the great scripture we all love, Jeremiah 29, 11. And we're going to talk about this thing of your calling. Is it possible that you have a calling that's unique and distinct? Is it possible that God pays attention to you, that He knows you? Think about this concept. God thinks about you. Hear it again. God thinks about you. If God had a wallet, your picture would be right on it. If you had a refrigerator, your stuff would be right on there. God thinks about you. Now, I know in your mind you're thinking, oh, that's a very romantic thought, and that's a bit hype because there's 7 billion people on the planet. Don't try to insult my intellect, you're thinking, and think that God is thinking about me. But let me tell you, God thinks about you, and He can think about you like there's no one else. And yet think about the person next to you like that, because He's God. And God can. Now, I know that's hard to comprehend, but I thought one day about even my own ability, how I love people. My wife and I, when we had our first child, she had the child actually, but I participated, but when our first child came, I fell in love with that child. I fell in love with that child with all of my heart. Now, I thought all of my heart belonged to Jeannie, and it does for 38 years. But when Kara came into the world, I don't know how I happened to do it, but she got my whole heart right there. I mean, I fell in love with her. And then 14 months later, another child. And I don't know where it came from, but I love my wife. I love Kara. But I love this boy. I named him after me. Poor kid. And then 5 years later, Andrew came. When Andrew came, I don't know how to explain it to you. I love my wife. I love my daughter. I love my son. But Andrew, I love you with all of my heart. Philip, I love you with all of my heart. Kara, I love you with all of my heart. And then 8 years ago, my daughter had our first grandchild. The grands, I call them. And Declan was a miracle. Doug and Kara had several, at least four miscarriages, and a lot of rejection, a lot of pain. And I was Oral Roberts' pastor, and one day we went over to his house, and Kara and Doug just asked him to pray, and he prayed, and 9 months later came Declan. And when Declan came, I don't know what I had for my kids, but this was something way beyond. In fact, I love my grandkids so much. I'm convinced that God gives you grandkids for rewarding you for not killing your own kids. And I mean, I love my kids. But if you don't know what it's like to have grandkids, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Let me tell you what I'd do. If I had teenagers, let me tell you what I'd do. I'd pay them to get married and have children. And I certainly wouldn't punish them to go through college without getting married. I'd get them married before they go to college, save them from a lot of trouble, and then maybe that grandchild. Because every day you don't have a grandchild is one less day you're on the planet without a grandchild. But here's my point. You see, I am almost evil, Jesus said, in comparison to God. And yet I could love my children as if they're individuals. God loves you so much. He thinks about you. He's into you. One scripture gives us the concept that God knows us and loves us so much that he actually counts the number of hair on our head. Now look, hair is, I mean, we're all somewhat vain. But come on, really? I mean, hair, really? God, you got all this problem in the universe and you're counting hair? I mean, I know it's important. I mean, actually, can I tell you something? When I was 50 years old, 10 years ago, on my 50th birthday, my wife did a favor for me. It cost a lot of money, but it was my 50th birthday and she had saved up. And so she took me to a doctor who took hair from back here, right here, and put it right here. I got hair right here that came from back here. Is that vain or what? And here's the cool thing. I'm going to lose all this other hair. When I'm 90 years old, I'll have 4,000 strands of hair right there. It's like, I mean, and as vain as I am, really, though, if it came down to it and the doctor said, look, you got bad kidneys or I can put more hair in your head. Honestly, here's the point. I'm going to go with the kidneys because the hair is not that meaningful. Here's my point. God's just trying to say to you, I'm into you. I know you. I'm watching you. While you're sleeping, I'm counting 10,001, 10,002, 10,000. We're going to lose that one. I want you sitting there listening to me with a sense of dignity, a sense that God thinks about you. The little boy was looking over a sparrow. The mother said, boy, what are you doing? Little boy staring over sparrow said, I'm waiting for God. He remembered the Sunday school teacher saying, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know, hardly any old timers here, and I know he watches me. God has never missed a funeral of a sparrow. And if God cares for the sparrow, he cares for you. Think about that. God thinks about you. And to trump that, God thinks good of you. I mean, I'd just be honored that he's thinking about me, you know? I mean, I'm on God's nerve, but hey, at least I'm on his radar. No, God says the thoughts he has towards us are good. He's not mad. Jeremiah said it this way. He said, God, the thoughts that we have, they're good towards you. God, yes, what are you doing? I'm thinking about Phil Muncy. What are you thinking about? good things. I've got plans for Phil Muncy. Plans not to do evil, but good. Friends, when we understand what I'm saying, that all of us have a dignity of a calling, you won't be able to build a church big enough. When people can recognize your children, your friends, your neighbors, when you can come to the house of God and own the ideal that God has thought of you and thinks good of you and has a calling on your life. When that happens, God thinks of you. God thinks good of you. God has put much thought into you. What does that mean? Well, Acts 17, 26 and 27 begin to kind of break that down. It says that God, from one blood, or I like to see it as one DNA cell, that God created the whole human race by creating this incredible cell, one cell that's so small you can lose it on a pinhead, but if you stretch it out, it's 6 feet long. And in that DNA strand carries the character, the charisma, and the chaos potential of every human being. Bundle it up and put them all together, and you can get the whole human race in the size of 3 aspirin tablets. From that one blood, God spun it into motion. And He predetermined and pre-appointed the times and the boundaries of their dwelling. In other words, God determined when you would be born. Do you remember picking that? Like, I think, oh, I'll be born August 17th, 1956. I don't think so. God determined when you would be born. God determined the boundaries or the where you would be born. And God determined by whom you would be born through, because you didn't come from your parents. You came through your parents because you came from God's mind, who the Bible says, Paul said, Timothy, your life matters. Before time began, God knew you and, excuse me, hello? I want you to get 4 bars before this sermon's over. I want you to hear clearly before you go to bed tonight. Before you wake up in the morning, I want there to be a pounding in your heart that says, my life matters. That's why we keep our marriages together. That's why we keep our morals intact. That's why we have the discipline to keep doing the right thing. Because God's given us a destiny. He's given us the dignity that we can't just squander our life. This is why we have dominion, because God has given us a holy calling. And when you recognize that, and you step into it, that calling has everything you need. It's your gift. God has given each one of you a gift. He gave you eyes, gave you ears, gave you a mouth, gave you a nose, gave you all these things. But more importantly, He gave you a gift. And if you can follow that gift, find it, follow it. Don't go get it. It's right here. If you can find it, that's why in Acts 17, He says, feel after the Lord, for He's not far from any one of you. You ever heard this scripture? In Him we live and move and have our being. Listen to this carefully, especially all my soul winners, all the people here that want to win souls. Are you ready for this? In Him we live and have our being. Let's sing that. We're Christians. In Him we live. But that wasn't written to Christians. That was written to pagans that were worshiping an unknown God. Here's my point. God said, I made them all. And they all have been deposited with the gift. Some of the best ways of witnessing to people is simply speaking to the calling that's in their life. Because when they can be told that God thinks of them, that God thinks good of them, that God put much thought into them, so that in the right time it doesn't matter. One young man was the birth of a rape. A man, a cruel, evil man, raped his mother. That's how he came on the planet. Surely God messed up on that one. And yet James Robinson has changed the world. Because you are not an accident. John 1:12 says, we're not born by the passion or the will of men, but by the will of God. I don't care what your circumstances are. God has determined when, where, and by whom He has put much thought into you. So if I've done any good at all trying to communicate to you, and you don't know me and I don't know you, but I've come here because I love you, I care for you, I want you to feel from me that you've got a great pastor, you got a great pastors, you got a great situation here. We're not going to just drift through life now. There's going to be an awakening. I didn't come here just to preach a sermon. I don't need to do that. That's not what I'm not an itinerant preacher. I'm an apostle, small a. I pastor pastors. God tells me what to do and where to come. And when I come, I have one agenda, and that is to shift a church from one place into another place, to release a prophetic sound that the church can hear so that we can be what He has called us to be. Listen to me. I say this with not any arrogance at all, but this church will never be the same. By the time we wake up tomorrow morning, there is going to be so much movement, shifting, changing, awakening. The whole chemistry of our church and our future will be changed. That's not arrogance. That's my calling talking. Some of you, your bank accounts are going to change. Some of you, you're going to see, because you see your gift. The Bible says if you hold on to your gift, if you stir up your gift, if you don't let your gift go, the Bible says that that gift will make room for you. That gift will get so big that you can't keep the job you have. I mean, either they're going to make a place for you, or you're going to get fired so you can find another job that's bigger than where you're at. I mean, if God has to, He'll shut the door so that you can get your feet and fingers and feeling out of the way so He can lead you to where you need to go, because that gift will put you before great men. That gift, if fueled, if not drifted from, if recognized, that gift will cause your destiny to unfold. It's all you need to do. And the Bible says to Timothy, Paul said, and Timothy, please know that this calling you have came before time ever began. And also know that this calling is not based on your works. It's based upon His righteousness, that not according to your works, but His grace, He hath given you this gift. Because some of you are saying, I'm disqualified. Some of you are saying, but you don't know what I've done. And I want to tell you, according to Romans, the 11th chapter, that your gift is irrevocable. It is without repentance. The Amplified Version says that your gift comes with a lifetime warranty. And I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you've done. Your calling is calling. You say, Pastor, help me Google map this thing out for me. Give me a frame of reference, because I don't know where to begin. Here's the questions I ask everyone, that once you ask these questions and you force the answers and you chisel away at the answers, that if you're 14 or 17 or 87, your gift will start finding its way clearly out of the maze in your mind. Here's the three questions. Are you ready for them? Number one, you ask yourself, what makes me tick? In other words, what desires? Is my time the 15 after? Is that it? The 10 after? What desires? I just got to get done before they do. I can tell you that right now. What desires are right here in your heart? There are desires that God has given you. These desires are your GPS. Pay attention to them. Listen to the desires of your heart. Because Psalms 37 says it's God that gives you the desires of your heart. In other words, God gives you the desires of your heart. Then when you listen to the desires of your heart, then you follow the desires of your heart. When you follow the desires of your heart, God says, very good. You're desiring what I desire you to desire. Now that you desire what I wanted you to desire, I will give you the desires that you desire that I desired you to desire. Don't make me repeat that. Nod your head like you got it. It's there. Now you say, but Phil, I've had some frivolous, selfish, stupid desires. They surely cannot be all of God's. I get it. The desires of the heart are real. They come from God. Trust them. The desires of the mind, they're not your dreams. They're schemes. There are schemes and there are dreams. And one question divides them. Ask yourself this question. If my quote unquote dreams come true, who benefits the most? Others are you. Do you get that? That's when you begin to recognize that if my dreams come true, who benefits the most? Others are you. If the world's better because of your dreams, if problems are solved because of your dreams, if other people are blessed because of your dreams, then they're coming from right here. Follow them. Don't drift from your gift. You don't have the luxury of living one life, one day, without touching your gift and your gift touching you. You say, but Pastor, I sell refrigerators and I have a calling. Surely it's more dignified than that. It's somewhere in there. Activate it. And if you can't find a connection between selling refrigerators and your calling, then volunteer at the church in something closer to your gift. Whatever you do, fuel the gift, follow the gift. The gift will provide finances for you. The gift will provide provision for you. When you got a vision, the provision will come. Amen? I'm going to go sideways just a little bit. Is that all right? Everybody say, go ahead. I'm going on a rabbit trail. Say, go ahead. One day I was eating an apple, and it was like God was speaking to me, and he said, Phil, you enjoying that apple? And I said, yeah, you know what? I really am. And I could just feel God just having this conversation with me saying, well, good, Phil. I want you to enjoy that apple. And I took another bite, and yeah, that's good. And God said, yeah, that's the fruit of your labor. I want you to enjoy. Phil, just imagine that that apple is like your car. Enjoy your car. Just imagine that apple is like your house. Enjoy your house. This is all mine. I want you to partake and enjoy. It's the fruit of your effort. No guilt, no shame. I was really enjoying that apple. It's like, wow, this is really cool. And then I could see that that apple represented that God wanted me to be happy pertaining to all life. And then as I got to the core of that apple, I saw those black things called seeds. And then I could feel a shift in God saying, now the seeds is my business. Don't eat the seeds. The seeds determine that you'll never be without an apple if you handle it right. And that's when I understood that when God blesses us, I don't care if it's $100 a week and we're barely making it. I don't care if it's somebody giving you $20 just so that you can make it through today. Every time God gives you anything, there's a seed in there. And it's not for eating. In fact, I've discovered since my little dialogue with God that seeds are poisonous, apple seeds, and can hurt you. Oh, no. There's a portion of everything that God gives you that you are to separate and make sure that it's for giving. So that in every dollar, don't eat that seed. Don't give it to Walmart. They can't do anything with that seed. It just goes in the cash register. It just goes into an accounting. It just gets eaten up in the system. There's no life-giving ability that Walmart can do with that seed. But just shift it around from bank and ledgers, bank and ledgers. But that seed to you, put in God's kingdom, becomes a lifeline that guarantees you'll never be without. Amen? You see, God is so good that He not only provides, He gives us the seed to sow. Isn't that beautiful? Because I asked God, the Bible said God gives you seed for the sower. Well, how? Every blessing has a seed in it. Don't eat it. Learn how to make sure somebody else touches that. That wasn't even in my notes. Look. But when you understand how God wants to bless you and understand that your gift is that seed of which, if you nurture it, will produce more than you could ever consume. Ask yourself, what desires? What makes me tick? Number two, what makes me ticked? This has to do with what hurts your heart, what pain and suffering and difficulties. When I listen to somebody's music, and by the way, the music here is amazing. You guys are great. Great. And Trevor, I don't know what they did to you to lock you in that room, but whatever it is, I hope you'll straighten it out and they'll treat you with some more dignity. Tyler. Sorry. I'm teasing. You know that. But anybody that has any significant calling engaged in their life needs to be connected to pain, needs to be connected to passion. I want to know your passion if I'm going to see where your calling is going to take you. And your passion means literally the suffering, the injustice, the things that have happened to you that have hurt you. Now, some things are other people hurting you, and you need to get over it. Other things are hurt that you've done to yourself, and you need to figure out how to get over it. But there are some gnawing pains in your life that you can't numb, that you can't make go away. Those are your weapons for your calling. Those are your tools for your trade. Anybody that's done anything significant with their life has attached their pain to their calling, and in doing so, have never lacked passion. Amen? And lastly, what trickle down anointing is in my lineage waiting for me to cash into, to lean into? You see, we must understand that if God thinks of us, and He does, and if God thinks good of us, and He does, and if God put much thought into us, our genealogy is very much connected to our destiny. Your history reveals your destiny. Your history has equity for your destiny. Oh, the past has been given a bad rap. Let your past be past. Oh, there's a lot of things that need to go under the blood, but there's a lot of things in your past that God owes a blessing to your lineage. He owes something. I will tell you this right now. If I can be so bold, for me, I have hardly any right to say what I'm about to say. But I believe God told me to prophetically say it to you. That God watches over the generations of His word. And one generation does the right thing, and they don't get blessed for it. They don't get compensated for it. They're taking advantage of it. That equity kicks over to the next generation. If that generation doesn't see the fruit of their labor, if in their deed there appears to be nothing, it turns into a seed and it kicks in to the next generation. And I just want to say to you, in 1998, God gave me a vision. In that vision, He showed me things that are now beginning to unfold. One of them was, I will take those who have served this country, and on the back of their willing to serve this country, this nation survived. And I will take the servants who I say, God says, are the greatest among you. And I will put them in a position of earned favor from their equity. And I will put opportunities before them that they'll ask themselves, why me and why now? Why so quick? Why from nowhere to now here? From gradually to suddenly? God said, because I've kept my eyes on the equity of your sacrifice. And God showed me that there would be several groups, and the Hispanic community would be one of those of which God would say, I will take those that have served and have been last seemingly, and in a day make them first. And those that were first in a day would be last. It was as if there's a long line, and behind that line are people that are just willing to take whatever can be given to them. And on the front of the line are those that extort, take advantage of, and make money off of other people. God said there'll come a day when the winds will shift and change, and in an hour, the first in line will be the back of the line, and the back of the line will be... God is going to release businesses, songs, the arts, favor, creativity, Take it or leave it. The Lord said, I will bless the generations that I owe favor to. That's why you don't do life alone. That's why young people, so many young people, are so lost right now, because they think their life is a blank slate. They think that it's a blank piece of paper. What do I want to be? Don't insult your destiny without understanding that history is ready to release equity, favor, blessings. Just wait. And I know some of you are thinking, well, I've got a lot of junk in mine. I got a lot of bad in my... Did you know Jesus' genealogy in Matthew 1 isn't all that pretty? Sure, there was prophets. Sure, there were kings. Sure, there were great men and women of God, but there was also prostitutes and pimps and crooks. And they were all in there. I don't know how and why God. I know one quick story. Tamar, she was married to one of Judah's sons, and he died, and she was supposed to be brought into the family, and Judah decided to cross her out. And so in a way to get back into the lineage, she disguised herself as a prostitute, and she seduced Judah, had his children, and was able to get back in the lineage. The children were twins. Twins that had to learn never to talk about who their real daddy was. That DNA was given to Jesus because he couldn't talk about his real daddy either. Everything God can redeem iniquity and turn it into equity. Did that make sense to you? At the cross, Jesus died for your sins and your transgressions and your iniquities. Iniquities are the hereditary weaknesses passed down from one generation to the next. At the cross, Jesus says, I was wounded for your transgressions and I was bruised for your iniquities. But then he reaches and says, but I'll take your equity and I'll give it to you. It's part of your calling. What makes me tick? What makes me ticked? What trickle-down equity is God ready to release when I'm ready to engage? Wow. Did that help anybody? Did that help you? Place your hands over your heart and let me just prophesy over to you that your life matters. Let me just speak to you now and say to you, your life matters. Let me say to young people here today, do not lower your morales just to get through the day because somehow you feel you need attention or love or you need some kind of distinction. No, friend. You have a calling, and your calling is calling. To those of you that have been tempted and seduced by cheating or are drifting away from your gift in a life that lacks passion, let me call you again. Let me alert you again. You're more important than that. Don't drift from your gift. And those of you that have felt like that you have shamed your gift and that you have shamed every opportunity that God could ever give you, today let me say to you, don't insult the cross. He saved you and knew your end from your beginning from your end. Your gift is ready to be engaged. It's calling. It's calling. Holy Spirit, we hear your voice. Holy Spirit, faint, but we hear it. You're calling us. You're saying, don't give up on the dream. You're saying, it's time to be trained. It's time to serve. It's time to engage. It's time not just to walk in and walk out, but to step in and step up. It's time to hear my calling is calling. My calling is calling. Now look at me now in these last few moments that I have. Look at me. Let me just say this, and I'll address this today when I teach and train some of you. But let me just tell you that Jeannie and I founded a church here in Orange County 30 years ago and had incredible seasons. But we just went through a season where for about 1,000 days, 3 years, it seemed like that the fervor was not there. The favor wasn't there. Certainly the fruit wasn't there. During that time, I drifted into depression and drifted into despair, just drifted into feeling so insignificant. And somehow at that point, I had to keep chiseling away at all the thoughts in my mind until I could hear clearly what makes me tick, what makes me ticked, what trickle-down equity do I have access. Somehow in all of those lonely nights when I compared myself with my peers, wondered why my church wasn't bigger or greater or better, somehow in all of that, I was able to embrace my gift, hear the pounding of the passion of my gift in my chest. And somehow God gave me the courage to step back and to release and to allow that which was no longer bringing fervor or fruit or favor. And when I learned to let that go and embrace my gift, God brought me into a world. The only thing I can say is I went from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And I'm saying to you today, it's time for you to allow your gift to reawaken. And if you've locked yourself into a box of limitations, it's time for you to let your gift elbow its way out of that. And my last story I want to tell you is the story of my daughter. Incredibly talented. When I see our preacher's kids here today, I look and I say, wow, these kids. God makes no mistakes. You're in this home, not just because it's a coincidence. You're in this home because God's got something orchestrated. You may never be like your father or mother, but you have cloth now. You have equity. You have something that God will use for your destiny. But my daughter at 17 was incredibly talented, incredibly gifted. And everyone would say, my God, she's so full of potential. And she's worked for us since. But over the years now, having children and life, she got a little discouraged and began to pray. And God, in her prayer time, said, I want to take you back to an experience you had back when you were 17. She's 35 now. Yes, God. God showed her when she was taking food over to the evangelist's house. And she took some food, knocked on the door. She could hear a faint sound. Yes, come in. She walked in and she saw a woman who looked like anything that could have gone wrong did. One child on one hip, another on another hip, and two screaming up and down the hallways. And the lady just said, when Kara said, here's your dinner. She said, just leave it on the table. And Kara left that dinner on the table and backed away out of the door, closed the door, and said, I never want to be that woman. But now she's crying because she feels she is that woman. I got three kids. I take a bath at night and fall asleep. I'm so exhausted. Forget my life. It's diapers, it's kids, it's bills. My life is over. And God said, honey, No. Do you remember who that woman was that you dropped in that kitchen? Yeah, that was Lisa Bevere. Wow. Lisa Bevere is now one of the most sought-out speakers in the nations in the world, and sells tens of thousands of books and is transforming women literally by the hour, by the thousands. That was just a season. That wasn't her destiny. That was just her season. So I don't care what you see and feel now. I don't care what it looks like now. My friend, embrace your calling. Say yes to it. Because when you say yes to your calling says yes to you. Amen. When you surrender to God's will surrenders back to you the will to do it. You matter. Your life counts. Change your schedule. Let's spend some time together today. We've got something big to do. It's time to do it. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. So I'm going to tell you a story. I like to tell stories. I was Tamara and I were children's pastors for 6 years, and I love to tell stories. But I want to tell you a story, and you might have heard this story again before, but you're going to hear it again. And some of you haven't heard this story, but God called Tamara and I to this church. We were part of a wonderful four-square church, and we loved being there. But God called us to this church. And I argued with God, and I said, God, no, that's, you know what, you you know, you have these conversations with God, and I said, no, you know what, this is the track. And God said, no, this is the track. This is where I want you to go. And so I argued with him. About the third week, I understood. I wasn't trying to argue with God to argue with God. I was trying to argue with God because I didn't want to do the wrong thing. That's what it was. And so, but when I knew it was God, I resolved, okay, I was happy to do it. Because I knew, listen to me, I knew the blessings of God are always in the obedience and the willingness to do what he says. I mean, God knows more than you know. He loves you more than you love you. And so he knows where to, anyway. So so I finally said, okay. And I called my wife, and she was visiting, at that time, her sister and her relatives in Chicago. And I called her, and I said, hey, Tamara, God has called us to Pico. And it just didn't make, like me, it just didn't make any sense. But the Holy Spirit spoke to her. And all I'm saying is you know what, we think sometimes we've really got to understand what we're called to do. We have interns here, and I'm gonna teach them something. We're gonna get a big rope and we're gonna put it out there. And we're gonna get half of them on this side and half of them on that side. And we're gonna have a tug of war. And then in the course of time, I'm going to take one person on the one side and put it on the other side. And then I'm going to put another person on that side and put it on this side. So each time I do that, this side is getting weaker and this side is getting stronger. That's what you are. See, what callings do you have in your life? I don't know, but I know one of the callings that you're called to is you're called to this body of Christ. And we've got so much work to do. I mean, praise God, it's as full as it is in here. But how many know there's still some seats to be filled? And the first service wasn't full. And how many know God has all kinds of things? You said, Pastor, what are we going to do when we're too full in here? I don't know. I've got to figure it out. God will figure it out. But here's what I know. There's people out there that we're called corporately together. So I said this in the first service. So at some point in time, God calls Tony. How many know? How many would recognize Tony is called to this church? No, raise your hand. Just raise your hand if you say, Tony, I'm just asking. You have your own opinion. How many think Tony is called to this church? Raise your hand real high. Now, Tony, stand up. Stand up. No. Wait. Keep your hands up real high. Now, Tony, look around and see what other people think. See, here's the reality, Tony. You're just as called to this church as I'm called to this church. And here's the truth. You know what? And I did it with Tony. Tony, you can sit down. Sorry to keep... Amen. But here's the truth. I picked Tony because how many know Tony's a little bit more boisterous than other people are? Okay? But that's okay. You know what? But here's the deal. I could do this all day long. Because your calling on this church is no less relevant than the calling this church that God has called me to. Or Tony to, or Pastor Tamara to. So I look forward to you leaning into, I think I like that terminology, leaning into your calling. You know what? God tells Saul, he says, why are you kicking against a goad? Goad was a sharp stick to help motivate animals that wouldn't move. Why are you doing that? Some of you have experienced life in you going against God, and you're starting to go with God, and you're starting to recognize, man, this is just better. I've been bound, and I've been free. Can I tell you what? Free is better. He's better. And so don't resist God in your calling. And don't think that you're calling because, and maybe you're not called to be a pastor. That's all right. It doesn't mean that you're less called than I am to do something, you know, in the body of Christ. Do something at Hope Community Church that we, can I tell you what? Tamara and I are not going to have significance. But we are going to have significance. You know, John Maxwell said, if you can fulfill your calling by yourself, your calling is too small. It's absolutely true. Tamara and I need you. And God needs you. God don't need anybody. Well, God chose to need you. So argue with God. Dave was like, wow, who is God? Who are man? Stop arguing with God. You're the apple of his eye. Amen. I love that. You know what? I'm in Jesus' wallet. Amen. Amen. It's a funny story. I was texting people to encourage them yesterday about coming to this training. And let me say this. Everyone's invited to the training. If you serve in any form of ministry, any form in this church, I want you to be there. Even if you don't, but you'd like to be part, you know what, then I want you to be here. But I was texting people, and I said, you know what, to one of my favorite ushers. Some of you ushers got that. Okay. And then I thought, yeah, but what if somebody thinks that, oh, he's texting, it doesn't change. If I text you, one of my favorite ushers, here's the truth. God knows my heart. You are one of my favorite ushers. Amen. I text a bunch of people, to one of my favorite people in the kingdom helping me build the kingdom of God. Amen. God knows my heart. I was totally sincere. We love you, and we're so proud of you. We're so glad that you're here. If God spoke to you in any way, in anything that Pastor Phil said, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to decree and declare. I want to come in agreement in you that whatever God spoke, that you know what, you're not going to go there. Oh, I love, I receive that this church is never going to be the same. Matter of fact, get your hands out. I just need to, Pastor Phil, I saw something. I've got a pastor friend. Pastor's is an awesome church, wonderful pastor. And as you were preaching, I could see something that he's tapped into as far as seeing leaders in the church. Right when you were preaching, it just like downloaded in my spirit. And I thought, oh my goodness, I see it. If God has spoken to you, raise your hands again. I'm going to pray with you. Father, I decree and declare that the dreams, not the schemes, but the things that you have put in their hearts, Father, that they will fulfill, and what we read this week, they will partner with you, they will understand with you we can do nothing, but there will be a greater dependency on you. And Father, together, all of us together, we are going to reach our world with the explosive power of God's word. We're going to do it one at a time as we're relating to people. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Honey, we missed you. We're so glad you're here. My wife was on vacation, just visiting some relatives with the girls, and Tyler and I were home. You know what? Chilling, and you know what? Somebody asked us, "What did you eat?" I'm like, "Well, we ate the 2 frozen pizzas." You know what? And anyway, I miss you, honey.
We can verify, you know, God said it's not good for man to be alone. We can verify that. We can, me and my girls. So, yeah, they did good job. Pastor Paul cooked just about enough tuna helper and hamburger helper. Everyone was done.
Pastor Paul got all excited. He was like, hey, I'm making tuna helper. You don't want some? I'm like, let me think about it for a second. No, thank you.
He doesn't eat anything warm tuna. Won't do it. But anywho, it's not important. I'm going to lose my train of thought, Pastor. I received that prophetic, you know what, a word that you gave to us, and I'm just trying to think. I'm going to try and get, I really had something in my spirit concerning that. But another thing that just stuck out to me in this service is when you said to that little test, help me, where you, if it benefits you and if it benefits others, it's very interesting because when God called us here, it really didn't make a lot of sense if you looked at it in a career-wise, you know what? And it was really difficult because Pastor Drew and I were running the summer camps for Foursquare, and we had been offered, we were part-time all along, and we were offered a full-time position at this church down in Orange County, and this church was... you know, cool when cool wasn't cool yet, as far as the kids' ministry was high, you know what, on their list, and they really put a high priority, and they had just remodeled a room much like this for the kids' ministry, and we were, it just all seemed, yes, boy, God is rewarding us, we've been faithful, and now look at all of this that's going to happen, but then this phone call came. It's like, what? You mean, did you fall on your head? What? You know what I mean? So instead of this successful track that was just happening, by the way, we weren't, you know what, stirring any of that up. We were just serving God and being obedient. And then this phone call, and okay, so instead of all of that I just named, come to a church in Pico Rivera that is and has been and is in great decline. We had 12 people when we took the church. And stay bivocational so that you can come here. You can't go full-time. You've got to keep on working and working, you know, jobs. And we had a home-based business that was doing very well. I had replaced when we had Shayla, I stayed home as a stay-at-home mom. But I had replaced my income with this little business. And what I knew is like, wait a minute. If we go to that church... because it's not this church that you see. It was a huge rundown facility that didn't have finances to fix it up and could barely afford a part-time pastor. And we had 12 wonderful senior citizens here. There was no children's ministry. There was no youth ministry. And our little business was going to get me a nice home for my kids. We were managing apartments at that time, and it's like, I just knew, you know what I mean, because it was doing so well. I also knew, wait a second, if we take on this project, that business is going down the drain for sure, because there just won't be, you can't do both, it's impossible. Plus, Pastor was still working, you know, to provide for our family. And so, and we were used to excellence. The church that we were coming from, our pastor was all about excellence. And everything there was very nice. And everything here was not nice. And I was pregnant with Tyler. It's like, we can't do this. But God was so clear as I was having an emotional moment with him and said, God, we can't do this. You know what I mean? A pastor can't even pastor over there. I mean, we can't do this. I mean, and he said, Tamara, would I put you somewhere and tie your hands? I said, no, Lord, you wouldn't do that. And he said, just relax. Yeah. And so coming here, it was all about what God wanted to do in Pico Rivera for you. He wanted to provide this place for you and for your children. There's no church like this in Pico Rivera. There's churches here, but no churches like this. And you're obviously, he's planted you here. Both things we would be serving God, Pastor. This was so not about us. Or so it would seem. Because the truth is, it's everything about us. Because what would our lives be if we did not have you in our lives? As the whole congregation kind of teared up as we think about Tony and how he's touched our life. Well, has Tony, think about it. Why is Tony so significant to us? Yeah. But is he sitting down? Is he teaching you on a daily basis? Is it all tied into Tony? Is Tony like the... No. Tony is just loving God and serving God with us. And yet, it's so powerful, the connection that's taking place and how much he's influenced your life, even though he's not like sitting down giving you your bread and butter every day of the word. And for those of us who aren't men, actually, he did teach in the sanctuary a couple times. But even that was stepping out for Tony. Do you understand that? But it has blessed us. God's called us together. You know what? And the giftings that we have in us benefit not only us, but everything that we do. The Bible says that growth comes when each one does their share. And as Tony shows up and is so faithful as an usher, and then he became, you know, it's because of, can I just tell you, it's because of Tony that Men of Hope sprung up. And that was a, again, he had to, we were talking about something else, and I said, you know what, Tony, maybe you are the one who should, you know what, begin a men's ministry here. And let me just say something. You know what, as long as we're on this, and I'll be real brief here, but the Bible says God plants you in a house. You can't just pick and choose where you want to go. This is not barbecue. You know what I mean? This is the kingdom of God. And this destiny, this calling that's in us, it's part of, he's got something for you. You contribute here every week as you faithfully show up. And Tony was here faithful for a long time as an usher before he started doing men's ministry. And the way that that came through, you know what? If we just say, well, I can't tell you how many believers I talked to. Oh, I want an aerobics class. I'm going to go over to that church. They got aerobics class. Really? Talk about insulting your maker and this calling that is in us. He's got something for you to bring. I think about Sozo Youth, Joel and Shayla. But watch this. Watch this. Joel and Shayla and the teaching that they bring. And I know Pastor Paul and Isaac helped them. I understand that. I understand there's a team effort down there. Joel and Shayla and the quality of teaching that they bring to their generation. But if all they did was have a good word, what about, you know what? What about Angel and, and Allie? You know what? and Isaiah, who are significant part of the worship. See, they got to be here because they do the worship. They're part of that. So now the music, is music important to youngsters today? Yeah. And so those who bring their part there. And then we can just go on and on and on. Miranda and Joaquin. Bailey and Justin. No, really, they're faithfully here. The kids can come. You know what, as we reach out and evangelize, someone can come and meet, you know what, Bailey today. And then get all caught up in the world again and come back 3 months later and Bailey's still here. And they say, hey, I know you, right? We don't understand how significant we are in just being part of the body. And the part that, listen, when God said, growth will come when each part does their share. Amen. There is a share in you for Hope Community Church and the kingdom building, this community, what God has, that if you haven't tapped it yet, maybe today, you know what, it's about getting involved. And even when it's, even whatever that is, there's nothing insignificant. Whatever that is, just your faithfulness to be faithful to a home church is huge. Yes, it is. Because then you're in place when the need is there. Amen. So thank you. And we receive that, you know what, that we would just, that there is a shift. That we all understand this significant part that we have, whether we feel significant or not. If God says we're significant, we're significant. Amen. And and we cannot even begin to understand that which God has for us. When I came with tears streaming down my face out of just sheer obedience and trust to God, that's it. I just know I can trust you, God, because this is so not cool on the outside. It so doesn't make any sense to me, and it seems so backwards of a move for me and my family. But I know it's you. And I know I can trust you. And so here we go. I never could have pictured this. Never. Never. And what God has, your part. Is Pat here today? If Pat's in the room. Okay, Pat, I was talking to a mother today, and their son belongs in the preschool class. And they normally come to the morning service. And their son doesn't want to go into his class at the second service because Teacher Pat's not there. You are a huge part of someone loving to come to church. And you haven't even started to sow the word. You know what I mean? You're just because Pat's there. Because you've been so faithful. And because he knows you and loves you and trusts you. It's an ease for his parents to bring him to church. Just a great ease. See, she didn't know that till I told her that. She never would know that unless I told her that. But does it make it any less true? No. We have no idea. Just the simple step of obeying and being faithful, trusting God. What we are accomplishing. And we have not even scratched the surface as a church. We can see, you know, we can see what God's done over the years. We can look back and go, wow, God, you are amazing. But we haven't even scratch the surface of that which we contribute and that which he has planned. And I love the man, we need to get puffed up about who we are in God. Do you understand that? And about what he has for us to do. I love that part, Pastor. Thank you. Okay. Academy of Righteousness. I'm going to blur through these. Yeah. What?
We're doing four in one.
Not one?
One and four.
Okay.
Because exactly what you said, there are some people who want to go to five.
Okay. All right. These people are Christian. They don't mind at all. Okay, so here's a level one is going to start on Sunday, October 16th. And level four will come first. Then we're going to do a level five because for the first time ever, we're doing a level six. And so you've got to be in one to get to the other, okay? You got to go sequentially. And so those of you who have graduated level three and you have not gone in four, you're going to want to get in four, five, and six because they're going to come all this year. And so level four will begin on October 9th, and then after that, we're going to go into a level five, okay? And so those of you who want to participate in level six, make sure that you have all your numbers in order, okay? So $25 for MP3s, $40 for CDs. You can sign up out at the information table, and you can also talk to them about a fundraiser that will provide you with things to do fundraising so that finances don't stand in your way, okay? Be sure that you stop out there and let them know. Sign up and check out some candy if you need to do the fundraising. And then we're going to be going to TBN on October 20th, so be sure you put that on your calendar. It's the Tustin Studio, and guess what I found out today? Guess who's hosting that night? Just coincidentally, you know what? Pastor Phil Muncy will be our host that night, and so look forward to that. And it's a blessing for us. It's a blessing for them. And then don't forget, we can be there as late as 6 o'clock now. Load up your car. Bring your friends, neighbors, because each person that's there, that's how it's a fundraiser for the church. They count the heads, and each head is worth some dollars. You have a price on your head that night, okay? So be sure you come, and we're just fundraising for that youth room. And it's going to be exciting to see what God does. We've been impressed so far as God has just going before us and helping us get this thing done. So appreciate it. Now, last announcement before I announce lunch, Savers. You guys, I was out of town. You guys got all the stuff here. They took it all over there. There was a mix-up in the schedule, so that's why you didn't find out on Wednesday night how much we were able to raise, but they got it over there on Friday, and so for the first time we're announcing it was $490 is what we were able to get this time again, so thank you, Jesus. That's going to buy a couple of chairs for the youth room, and that's going to be great, so thank you very much for helping out with that, and that, boy, that big check is a challenge, isn't it? Well, I'm up for a challenge, so we'll see. Another day, we all got to take a break, so we'll figure it out. And so if you ever see, I don't know, if you get some mother load going on somewhere, talk to me, and we'll set up a Savers date, okay? But until then, we're just going to move forward in continuing to fundraise with our luncheons. So today we have tacos. There's carne asada out there and chicken tacos, 2 for $3. There's also cucumbers out there that you can get. You can get a bowl of cucumbers for $2 and then strawberry lemonade for $1. So there's no better bargain in town, no better food in town, so and no better cause in town. When you buy your lunch here and eat here with us, you know what, you're going to fund the youth project, and we appreciate that. So have lunch with us. Don't forget, today at 2 o'clock, we're doing the training with Pastor Muncy. Tonight at 6 o'clock is Esperanza. So, and that's going to conclude our service. So I hope you enjoyed today, and I hope that God will just continue to just stir in you, you know what, the things that he's already, you know what, dropped in your spirit right now. All the leaders have gone to their station, and so you are dismissed. Enjoy lunch, and we'll have a great afternoon together. God bless you.